We do have Trevor Sikkema with us now, senior NFL reporter with the Draft Network and co-host of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast as well. Trevor, welcome to the show. Indulge me if you may. Let's just start off with my
Raiders.
And it seems that Mike Mayock he doesn't care what the other 31 teams do. He doesn't care what scouting services do. He'll fall in love with a guy, and he doesn't really understand draft capital and perceived value. He'll just go ahead and take a reach. And I have nothing against Alex Leatherwood, but for a guy that they probably could have gotten in the second round, they take at 17 when there were other bigger names on the board. What would you, first of all, say your assessment of Alex Leatherwood, the tackle out of Alabama, at 17?
You know, Alex Leatherwood gives you high ceiling, and I think that that's what's got to be the most alluring part of him. He's a former five-star recruit, has played a lot of different positions on the offensive line. He's played right guard, he's played right tackle, he's played left tackle, and so he gives you a lot of versatility. He's a really athletic offensive lineman. They just don't make him as athletic as Alex Leatherwood is. That's why he had such a high recruiting rating. But with him bouncing around at a couple of different spots at Alabama, he really didn't have the chance to master any of those spots. So he comes into the NFL a little raw. You know, he'll go back to right tackle, and he's played it before, and that's okay. But, you know, if the Raiders are starting him week one at right tackle, I think that he's going to get exposed a little bit. It's going to be a little bit of a learning curve, a learning lesson for him in his first year. You like it, but there were, like you just said, there were other offensive linemen off the board. I look at Tevin Jenkins. Tevin Jenkins was the offensive lineman that everyone continued to mock for the Las Vegas Raiders because it made so much sense. He's got 2 years as a starter at Oklahoma State. His tape was dominant. He was a great finisher. He was an aggressive offensive lineman. You figured that Gruden was going to absolutely love him, and here they are. And I guess the Raiders just said, hey, he doesn't play at a big enough program. Because that's certainly what their MO is right now. The Raiders are only picking guys in the top who played at big programs, who, you know, may have had a lot of experience, been senior players, been captains, leader of the team. And I get it. These are all really nice intangibles to have. But if you ask me, the problem with the Raiders draft process isn't that they value those things. It's that they have those things as their main components of why to draft a player. Those need to be X factors. Those need to be what puts you over the top, and I just feel like that's not what the Raiders are doing. They're emphasizing coming from their bigger programs, having a lot of experience, being an upperclassman, being a potential team captain. That is going above things like players who just straight up have better tape, and I think that that's the biggest problem right now with the Raiders when you look at the last three drafts under Mike Mayock is just they're not prioritizing the right thing. The things that they look for, they're great, and they matter, but the tape matters more. That's what worries me the most about Mayock right now in control with the Las Vegas Raiders.
No doubt about Jenkins. Darisaw was there as well, and you're right. Mayock loves guys who win Outlands. I mean, you look at Cleland Farrell as well. To me, the worst of all so far was the Damon Arnett pick. Well, I can get into that another time. As I trashed the Raiders, but they did end up with Trevor Mayering. That, to me, saved their draft. And if you had flip-flopped Leatherwood and Mayering, I wouldn't be saying a peep right now. But what do you think, just real quick, about the rest of the bunch? And I'm not going to hold their feet to the fire in the later rounds, but Malcolm Kuntz, Divine Diablo, Tyree Gillespie, Nate Hobbs, Jimmy Morrissey, any of those names intrigue you?
Yeah, I mean, when I look at the Raiders draft, I mean, there's no doubt about it. Trayvon Merrick is the best pick there. He makes the most sense. I think he's going to have the biggest impact. But it was puzzling to me the rest of the players they drafted because, like, Divine Diablo, like, he's fine. Like, he's a good safety piece. But they literally just drafted one the round before, and they've already got John Abram on the team. They signed Carl Joseph. They've got Jeff Heath as well. And so it's like, okay, you draft another safety. I don't really understand that. Probably could have addressed it somewhere else. And then they go out in the fourth round and they draft another safety in Tyree Gillespie. And I think that these are good football players, but I don't really know how they get the Raiders over the hump. You know, I just don't know how much they do for you here, because even if you're playing big nickel packages, even if you have three safeties in there, who's not playing? Which guy are you giving up on? You giving up on Abrams after 3 years? Are you giving up on one of these free agents you gave money to? Or you? It's just very confusing to me the way that they drafted there. I thought that Malcolm Kuntz was very overdrafted in the third round. Certainly they needed an edge rusher, but I was pretty shocked for him to be their choice there in the third round. And, you know, there are other guys, Nate Hobbs, Jimmy Morrissey, you know, they're solid players, but they're fifth, seventh round picks, so you're not sure how much you're getting from them anyways. It was just a strange draft, and I feel like we say that every year with the Raiders, and either one day it's all going to snap into place and it's all going to come down the pipe and they're going to go, see, I told you so, or it's going to crash and burn pretty soon here. And so, again, this is another draft class where I didn't mind the players selected, but why were they select as individually? I like their talent, but I didn't understand why they were all in the same draft class, especially for this Raiders team. And so that's a big reason why I'm scratching my head. And they had one of my lower draft grades. A
couple more questions for Trevor Sikkema. The whole thing with the Niners at three, and I was on the air when they made that trade with two more future number ones, and I said this has got to be Trey Lance, maybe Justin Fields. And then as the weeks went on, I kept seeing mock drafts for Mac Jones, and I this whole thing about being pro ready. That's what we heard about Jimmy Clausen, who I didn't like. That's what we heard about Josh Rosen, who I didn't like in the draft. And I said, there's, you know, for a guy who passed up on Deshaun Watson and on Patrick Mahomes like Kyle Shanahan did, he didn't trade his whole future to get a guy who, in his, you know, Mac Jones, the best he's ever going to be is maybe a Garoppolo. Like, he's going to, somebody has intrigued him there. Why is it, as we got down farther in the draft, that there were people who watch football who actually thought that the Niners traded their whole future to get Mac Jones? What was that all about? Because that seemed insane that anyone would think that.
I think it was more of the behind-the-scenes stuff than necessarily the tape things. And I'll go out and I'll say this to start. You know, the Mac Jones hate, I feel like, went too far. You know, when we were talking about him as a number three overall pick, okay, well, that's too far in the other direction, right? I mean, he should not have been the number three overall pick. He was not the third best player in this class. He was not the third best quarterback in this class. But I thought he could be a solid starter. And I think the reason why people entertained the idea of him maybe going number three overall is because of two things. One, sources from inside the league were certain to leaking things out of what it might be. And two, there was a lot of positive reports about how he was able to progress this past season. One thing in particular that I remember is Steve Sarkisian, the offensive coordinator at Alabama. He came out and said at the end of the year, I've never given a quarterback more freedom. In my entire career, both NFL and college football, I've never put more on any quarterback's plate than I have with Mac Jones. And he was able to digest it and get the play out where exactly it needed to go and improve as a passer. And I think that that all kind of stacked up and made people think, wow, I guess it could be Mac Jones. But to your credit and to your point, it never should have been. Trey Lance and Justin Fields, they give you the higher ceiling. They're the better prospects, and they were chosen as such. And so looking back now at the draft, it all came down the way that it needed to. Mac Jones was QB5, and it's fine that he was QB5. He goes 15 to the Patriots, and I think that that's a great spot, but I never thought it was him as the pick as number three overall. I just think it didn't make any sense, and I think the Niners made the right call with Trey Lance.
Yeah, you're right. Mac Jones went exactly where he should have gone. One more question for you. I mentioned Justin Fields. I thought for where the Bears have been, and it's funny because some Bears fan told me, we've never had a franchise quarterback in our history. And I thought, well, wait a minute. I guess not McNann. I guess not Bob Avellini or, you know, some of these other guys that you've had, Doug Flutie. And they said, maybe this is our first ever franchise quarterback. For them, with the Foles thing and now Trubisky being Josh Allen's backup in Buffalo and bringing in Andy Dalton for a year. Some people said that they overpaid. I think it's a bold move. Then they got to get Tevin Jenkins to help him. I like what the Bears did, taking a shot at Fields here. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, I think that this was the best selection in the entire draft. And even if it comes out that, you know, Justin Fields plays out his career and he's not as good as we thought he was, and he's not the franchise favorite for Chicago, that doesn't make this pick any less of the right move. It really doesn't, because this was a draft where Ryan Pace, the general manager, Matt Nagy, the head coach, their backs were against the wall. And if the arrow didn't start pointing up after this next year, both of these guys were gone. They were going to clean house. And they were sitting here with the 20th overall pick. What are they going to do? What are they going to do at number 20? Nothing. I mean, they weren't even going to get QB5 at pick number 20. And so they were patient. They waited. Justin Fields is available at number 11. They pick up the phone. They call Dave Gettleman, who has never really traded back before, actually never traded back before. And they were able to move up from 20 to 11 for a relatively cheap price because Gettleman doesn't have a lot of experience moving back. I thought, all things considered, the move up to go get Justin Fields was a brilliant move, and then continuing to stay aggressive, keeping your foot on the gas pedal, going up to get Tevin Jenkins at the top of the second round is a home run for me. I mean, the Bears had a bleak situation going into this draft, and they came up with two players that you really, really love in their biggest areas of need. This is exactly what Chicago needed to do. They had to change the trajectory. They had to get aggressive, and they had to go make their own luck, go take control of their own destiny, if you will. And I think that they executed that brilliantly by getting the two players they did at the top of their draft.
We just have 20 seconds. Who is your favorite kind of afterthought quarterback with the Kellen Mond, the Trask, the Davis Mills, the books of the world? Who did you like at all those?
I like Kellen Mond the most. I like that situation there. He has potential starter pathway depending on what happens with Kirk Cousins over the next couple of years. I like the talent. He's got the experience. He brings you a lot of tools. And so I think that fit makes the most sense there.
Yeah, and they did well. They wanted a tackle. They moved down to 23, and there's Darisaw sitting right there. Hey, great talking with Trevor Sikkema from, of course, the Draft Network, co-host of the Locked On NFL Draft podcast. Trevor, great talking to you. Thanks for your expertise, and let's do it again sometime.
All right, sounds great. Anytime, guys.
All right, I'm Rick Tittle. We'll take a quick break. Come on back.